Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
What you're about to hear is a program that is geared more for parents than it is for young children. In fact, if you have any kids listening with you right now, you might want to go straight to our website at homeward.com. so you can review the program on your own.
How did a girl like you get to be a girl like you?
Is it hard for you to establish your own identity?
I'm Jim Burns. Tracy Melchior grew up thinking that her physical appearance was the key to having the perfect life. As a young girl, she began using sex to control the relationships she thought would lead to happiness. Unfortunately, they led to heartache and abuse instead. A successful modeling career led her to stardom on daytime TV. But a failed marriage and multiple affairs before the age of 25 led Tracy's life on a downward spiral. Today, Tracy Melchior is a wife and a mother who loves God. And while she does stay involved in the world of acting and modeling, her primary focus now is to encourage young girls and their moms to discover their real beauty. Tracy Melchior is my in-studio guest today on Homeward, starting right now. From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. APU is on iTunes, you, of course. Who isn't? You can check out chapel services, special campus speakers, video blogs, short films about the APU experience, and more at apu.edu/iTunes. And, of course, you can follow the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter as well. For more of that social media stuff, just go to facebook.com/homeward, and you can get all that information. Today on the program, a very, very special edition of the broadcast. It's an encore presentation of an interview with actress Tracy Lindsay Melchior. Wrote a book called Real Beauty in a Picture-Perfect World, and she talks about breaking the perfect 10. Okay, let's get into part one now on Homeward. Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Today, a very special program. Tracy Lindsay Melchior is with us. She's an actress. She's a model who has been seen regularly in daytime TV on The Bold and the Beautiful, One Life to Live, and Sunset Beach, as well as lots of commercials. When you would see her face, if you can see her face on our website today, you would know this woman, a wonderful woman. Married to Rob, they live with their son Kyle, just outside of the Los Angeles area. You can actually even hear the audio and see the video of Tracy's recent appearance on Larry King Live when you go to TracyMelchior.com. Tracy, welcome to our program.
Thank you.
It's great to have you with us. You wrote a wonderful book. My daughter, Heidi, who's in the studio today, actually read this book. She took it from me this last weekend. It's called Breaking the Perfect 10. As an actress, you wrote in this book, "Once upon a time, I was an actress who lived in a superficial world in Tinseltown." What would that mean?
Well, Hollywood is just based on appearances, and it's a very... it's just a superficial world. It's based on who you know and what you look like and what your last project was.
Well, when you say that, I remember the Bo Derek film, you know, mm-hmm. Perfect 10. And I actually remember in a negative way being in high school and actually seeing guys put signs up. A girl would walk by and they'd rate her. And it was horrible.
Because like gymnastics?
Yeah, exactly. The gymnastics, except, you know, a girl might get a 4. Well, what's that going to do to her self-image?
Exactly.
What did it do for the girls who were the 10? Now, in your book, Breaking the Perfect 10, somebody told you have broken the perfect 10. How did that make you feel?
Well, I was somebody who never felt special growing up. So for me, those kind of things were important to me. They mattered to me. And I thrived on that. I was wrapped around his finger because, wow, he thinks I'm great.
Right. And so much of, as you said, Tinseltown, but just in terms of life here in America, around the world, girls especially, but guys too, struggle with this idea of attractive. No one ever feels like a perfect 10.
Right. Well, I think the problem too is that that's what we're thriving to be, is this perfect 10 in the opposite sex's eyes. And that shouldn't be our goal. How many guys think you're hot when you walk into the room is not where you get your value. And that's where the danger is.
But a lot of times, and I think even as parents, we have to teach our kids that lesson. Mm-hmm. Because our kids, because of the world and because of what they see in media, they feel like they have to be you know, extra beautiful, extra attractive. And yet you said being attractive was a source of pain for you.
Yeah, and it's so hard for me to describe, and I'm not sure if I make sense when I say it. But being attractive brought me that kind of attention. And the guys that were attracted to me or what have you for being a perfect 10 or whatever it was, what they wanted from me and the kind of relationship they wanted with me was not a healthy environment.
You know, we did a program just recently where I actually quoted a scripture that said, as a Christian, your body is the temple of God. And one of the things I was saying was that we have to teach our children to look at the opposite sex as a sister in Christ or as a brother in Christ, because Christ lives within you. And yet the world doesn't do it that way, do they? The world just looks at the outside appearance and not at the inside of a person.
Yeah, and I think a lot of times you hear people say, when they're talking about pornography or something like that, oh, that's somebody's daughter or what have you. But for some reason, that's not hitting home, because so many fathers are not present in their daughters' lives anyway. They don't have the kind of relationship maybe they should have with their daughters, and it's not resonating. But what you say as a sister in Christ, maybe, you know, something's got to hit home, that that is a child of God, that is a person, a human being with feelings. They're not just an object.
Yeah, and that's very important. Now, you talked about your father, and I want to spend some time here kind of telling your story. We're going to do it on this program and then on the next program as well. So I want to work through your life a little bit. And actually, that's the story of your book, Breaking the Perfect 10. It talks so much about your life. You mentioned the father figure. Your dad was 29. Your mom was 16 when she got married. She had three kids under the age of 5 by the time she turned 22. Well, there was drama in their marriage, but you didn't really have much of a relationship with your dad. Is that correct?
My dad worked a lot, and he was also in school when they were married, and that was for the first 5 years of my life. He was not home very much in that time, and then when they got divorced, they lived in separate states.
Yeah, so interesting. You were born and raised at those first few years in Hollywood, Florida,
yeah.
Not Hollywood, California.
So that's right. I was on the wrong coast.
Or the right coast,
the
depending
right
on
coast.
Who's listening
yeah,
to this program
exactly.
today. We have great listeners in the on that coast. It would probably
the opposite
be different.
Coast,
sure.
Let's say.
Your mom and dad, as you said, split up, and you moved to your grandma and grandpa's house in Colorado, and you said that you felt stability there.
Mm-hmm.
What was that like?
Well, my grandma and grandpa were a traditional type family. Dinner was on the table every night. We spent time together. I had my three sisters there, and home with my mom, she was obsessed with dogs, but it was always about the animals and the dog shows, and there was just all that kind of chaos around having several animals. She bred dogs, there was litters of puppies, all of that. And in my grandparents' home, it was just more of that traditional, about the kids. It was just a normal life. It was a clean home with lots of love.
And yet, there was a season where your mom came back into your life and put you in a place, in a home, where most of the time she wasn't there. She was kind of had moved in with another man after your dad's divorce. And you and at least your sister, if I'm not mistaken, at a very young age, pretty much lived on your own.
Yeah. What happened was when my grandfather died when I was 10, my grandmother no longer wanted to be a surrogate parent to all of her children's kids, because my mother's sister's son also was living with her, but she had legally adopted him. So the three girls were needing to move out. And my mom had married a man who was really not interested in having children. And my mom's need to be with him was more important, apparently, than her need to mother us. And I think a lot of parents sometimes tell themselves, oh, they're fine, they're okay, oh, they're resilient, I've got great kids, they'll be, you know, that kind of thing. And I'm sure that she rationalized it in her mind. I really don't think my mom deliberately, I don't think it was evil, but I think it was ignorant. To not know.
And yet there was even a time where you talked about being so hungry, you ate dog food.
Yeah. And oh my gosh, I've gotten so much grief over that comment. If there was one thing I could edit out of that book. If I were to analyze it, I don't know if it was out of hunger as much as I felt like animals were more important to my mom. And I think there was some kind of a twisted thing there of confusion, where it was like, well, you know, dogs are better.
Isn't that interesting? You know, a lot of kids sometimes who come from what I would call kind of a broken home that you had, they really do get things confused, and there's misidentification. And sometimes that comes in the area of, like you say, you know, eating dog food. But other times it comes in the area of misidentification with our sexuality, with a need for love. Mm-hmm. You know, UCLA comes up with a study recently that says it takes 8 to 10 meaningful touches a day to thrive. And a lot of girls are promiscuous because they didn't have those meaningful touches when they were young from maybe a dad who was distant or gone. And so here you are in this home pretty much by yourself. And yet it kind of became a place where there were some real negative things that took place. One was that at age 12, you were sexually assaulted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, a lot of people think, oh my gosh, you know, this house to yourself. And when I was 12, I had an older sister who was 17. We also had a cousin, not much older than her, that would use this house because there was not a lot of parental supervision as a haven for, you know, partying or, you know, having company over, what have you. Well, it just put me in situations that I shouldn't have been in. At 12 years old, there was a 17-year-old boy that was over, and I was in the living room watching television, and he was, I guess, lonely or what have you. And it's interesting how people know what they can get away with, the like predators or what have you. But he knew I was unprotected, I guess. And he attempted to rape me at 12. I still have the scar. You guys can't see it right there. But when he pinned my arms back, there was like a nail sticking out of the carpet. And, you know, God was always there when I look back on my life, because before he was successful, after several attempts, he was not able to succeed, and he heard voices coming, and he jumped up and acted like nothing was going on.
But what a traumatic, terrible experience for a 12-year-old who, in some ways, lost some innocence at that time. And really, when a 12-year-old is supposed to be in a place where they're, you know, protected, very, very tough story.
I didn't realize how young I was until I was older. Yeah. You know, sure. 12, I was like, oh, I'm big girl.
Right. You know, I have three daughters, and when they were 12, they thought they were, you know, old and, you know, ready for things. And then probably as they get older now, they'll look back at that as well. Listen, we're going to take a break. When we come back, the story actually gets tougher. You soon discovered that sex was a good way to control relationships with guys. You were raped again at age 16. So not an easy story, but there actually is a good part of this story as well. I want to get to that too.
It's a very, very compelling story from Dr. Jim Burns today here on the Homeward Broadcast, featuring a conversation he had not too long ago with actress Tracy Lindsay Melchior. And if you just joined us and you heard that little teaser from Jim, reminder that if you have young children with you, you want to turn off the radio or shut down the iPad for a second and make sure that the kids aren't in the room, because she's talking about some very, very serious issues that happened to her when she was young. But then also discussing real beauty in a picture-perfect world. What is it like to be an actress who is an actress, a model, gorgeous woman who's now a wife and a mom, and loves the Lord, Bible-believing Christian, but the rocky road that she went to, and she writes about it in her autobiography called Breaking the Perfect 10. By the way, if you missed any part of this program today, we are always streaming audio at homeward.com, and there's no subscription charge for that at all. Just go to homeward.com, hit the radio broadcast button, and follow the prompts.
I'm Jim Burns with today's Homeward Snapshot.
Mom, have you seen my brush?
Ask your sister, dear.
You mean you let Heather borrow it?
No, what I meant was that your sister.
You always let Heather steal my stuff. Oh, I hate you!
Oh, yeah. Parenting can be frustrating at times. And what often keeps us going through the difficult times is the myth that there's actually a place this side of heaven where no conflict resides. Well, think again. At best, parenting is delayed gratification. But it's also the highest calling on earth. Think about it. You're in partnership with God to bring His children into the world, and then to help Him make them all that they're meant to be. Oh, sure, I can think of more enjoyable ways of spending my days.
Mom, have you seen my Hurley shirt?
Ask your sister, dear.
You mean you let Tina steal my favorite top?
No, what?
Oh my gosh, I hate you!
I love you too, Heather.
But I can't think of anything more worthwhile. I'm Jim Burns with today's Homeward Snapshot.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Burns. Tracy Lindsay Melchior is with us today. We're talking really about an incredible story, her life story. Her book is called Breaking the Perfect 10. It's not her final life story. It's actually a story that is a tragic story in many ways, and yet it has an incredible triumph at the end. Tracy, right before the break, we were talking about the tough experience that you had when you were 12. In many ways, because of whether it be absent father, whatever it was, you soon realized that you were, you know, more than beautiful. And yet you found that sex was a good way to control relationships with guys, you said. What'd you mean?
Well, I think we learn what our currency is, what our value is as a person. Like, what is it that we have that we can trade to get what we want from other people? And for me, I learned that if I wanted somebody to build me up and to feel important to somebody, the thing that drove me was I wanted to be number one. I never felt number one in my parents' life. And I felt so hungry for that. And what I learned was, when a guy is approaching you and thinking he's got a chance to have sex with you, you're pretty darn important to him. He's very focused. And he'll tell you all the things you want to hear. He'll build you up. He'll do everything that you need. And that was my trade-off. That was what I paid to get that, to feel important to the opposite sex.
I honestly think there are so many kids today who their emotional involvement with the opposite sex exceeds their maturity level. And it's not that they want to have sex. It's because they are hurting so much emotional. They want emotional security, and they find it in a false sense of sexuality, or sometimes even drug and alcohol abuse or other issues as well. Now, at age 16, you were raped.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I know people have a hard time with the rape thing, completely understanding it. I honestly believe that at 16, when that happened, I was smoking pot. I was drinking tequila. And honestly, the way I felt that night, I wonder if something was laced with, I don't know the name of that drug, but I was completely unable to move. And it was, I wanted so bad to stop it, but I physically was unable. And I really don't think it was just the tequila and pot. I think that there was something, that date rape drug.
That's very important for parents to understand that today date rape drugs are very prevalent on college campuses, in high school, and a lot of people don't understand that that is a major issue.
And I really, you know, back then it wasn't, you know, it wasn't something that was commonly known about. But when I've heard stories of it since, I've understood these girls, and they're like, well, why didn't you fight them off? Well, why, you know, that sort of thing. And I looked back and I was like, you know what? I totally get that. When you are under this drug, it's almost like it paralyzes you.
When you were 18, you got pregnant from a steady boyfriend. You had an abortion. You nearly died.
Mm-hmm.
So this is incredible trauma we're talking about.
I thought God was persecuting me for that. After you have an abortion, you're expected to take some antibiotics and that sort of thing. My boyfriend at the time decided that he didn't have the money for that, so he would get just the half of the prescription, the one for the pain. And I wasn't aware of that. He just got the prescription for me after. But a couple days later, I was in severe abdominal pain. And I finally ended up calling my mother, who rushed me to the emergency room. And I had peritonitis, which is a severe infection.
So you almost died.
Yeah. And right before I went into surgery, they made me sign away that they might have to take all of my reproductive organs. And I, at that point, was like, This is my punishment. I may never get another opportunity to have kids. This was my one chance. And
what a tough situation in so many ways. And yet, you know, sometime right after that, you landed an Old Spice commercial and was kind of on the road to stardom.
Yeah, my answer to all my problems was I was going to move to Hollywood and be a star. Because where else can you, you know, get all that validation and attention from your appearance solely? And so I was very fortunate to have pretty quick success and did the Old Spice commercial, used my horse riding skills, and got into the showbiz.
Got married, and yet you say in your book, were unfaithful within 2 weeks of your wedding.
Yeah, let's be clear, it was my first marriage, not to my current husband. Yes, I thought it was, what do they call it? Like wedding blues or whatever, right after shock or something. But it continued throughout my entire first marriage.
Right. So here is a little girl who in many ways hasn't grown up and doesn't have a moral compass at all. And yet all of a sudden you become, you know, a person who in many ways is moving on in stardom in Hollywood, as well as just having a great career, but really feeling empty.
Well, yeah, because that kind of behavior does not stop you in Hollywood. It's sometimes rewarded in a sense. You know, there's a lot of infidelity in Hollywood. And, you know, I lived a life where it was, I would ask for forgiveness, and not from God, but from the person, instead of permission. It wasn't about what was right or wrong. It was how I think I can get out of it if I get caught, because I was so good at talking my way. I was very manipulative, very persuasive, and I could pretty much get myself out of all these situations. So it was, there were not large consequences for me up to this point.
Right. I want to fast forward it to a time when really you realized that you could be forgiven and you wanted a relationship with God. Talk to us about that.
Well, first I had to admit that I was sinning. That was the big thing, because I rationalized it all. All of my sin was completely justified. I mean, you know, I had reasons for it. I could, it's just like a murderer. Most people who murder, they had a reason. They felt justified in killing that person. And it was no different for me that I felt justified in all my sin. And until I really took a good hard look at myself in the mirror and said, that was wrong, that's when I was able to really ask for forgiveness.
Interestingly enough, one of the phrases that I remember reading in your book was, you said, by the time I found God, I was horrified that I had broken every single one of God's perfect 10 commandments. What was that like?
Well, lucky for me, the church I was in, when I started learning all of this, it was all about His grace. So as devastating as it was bittersweet for me, because I wanted that clean slate He was offering so desperately. And as sad as I was that I had betrayed God in so many ways, along with other people as well, I was grateful at the same time. So it wasn't crushing.
Yeah. You know, and that's the beauty of grace, mm-hmm. that God loves us not for what we do, but for who we are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the first time I became aware of how rotten I had been to the core, I was learning at the same time that I could be forgiven for it. So it was perfect harmony.
That is actually perfect harmony. Now you're married to Rob. You have a wonderful son, Kyle, who's 5 and a half.
And a half.
Said, and life is a little bit different for you.
Oh, a little. It's an understatement. It's so night and day, unbelievably different.
What do you see that you learned from this past life that has benefited you now as you are a wife and a mom and you know, continue to do some great, glorious things in the world of acting, but at the same time, now more focused on God and your family?
Well, it's just unbelievable to live a life of integrity, how much more peace. It's so much less stressful when you're constantly looking over your shoulder to keep up the lies and the deceit. I can be more focused on what's good and what's right instead of what I'm trying to look that's good and right when I'm, you know, doing deceit over here. And, you know, the first time I got married, I took vows in front of God, but I didn't even know who God was. And the second time I got married, I knew who he was or who he is. And to have God in the center of your marriage and to have a rule book that you can go to, it's not based on what I want and my own selfish needs and desires. It's based on what's right and what's wrong. It causes a lot less rifts in a marriage.
That makes so much sense. We have just begun. And in many ways, we talked about the past a lot more than we talked about, you know, the incredible commitment that you've made to God and your willingness to move from a life of, well, as you said, you know, breaking all 10 of those things to really being a person who wants to live for the Lord. I've got to ask you to come back next time because we've got listeners who are wanting to, this is the daytime soap opera. We're ending right here and saying to be continued next time.
Yeah.
You can come back next time.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you so much.
And that concludes part one of Dr. Jim Burns' two-part conversation with actress Tracy Lindsay Melchior here on the Homeward Broadcast. She wrote an autobiography a few years ago called Breaking the Perfect 10, talking about breaking that image of the illusion that a woman could be a quote-unquote perfect 10 in terms of her physical appearance, but also talking about the Ten Commandments and the fact that in her rather rough and rocky upbringing, she felt that she was routinely breaking all 10 commandments. And once God intervened in a powerful way and she established a true faith in Him, she's now happily married, has a couple of kids, and is enjoying life out of the spotlight, occasionally stepping back into it too. Real beauty in a picture-perfect world is our theme here on the program. Remember that we stream audio here. And if you'd like a copy of the audio CD of this conversation, just drop us a line. We'll send it to you as our way of thanking you for your gift of any amount when you write to us at Homeward, Post Office Box 1600, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693, or call 800-397-9725.
Well, please know how much we appreciate your prayers and your ongoing financial support of Homeward. You can give a gift through our secure website at homeward.com. You can also mail your tax-deductible donation to Homeward, Post Office Box 1600, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693. You can also friend me on Facebook, and if you'd like to follow me on Twitter, you can now get my tweets, 140 characters of positive words about parenting, marriage, and faith. Until next time, I'm Jim Burns. Thanks for tuning in today to Homeward.
Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.